So the clock has just struck 10 o'clock. We've just started broadcasting, and Zoe and myself, we're just going to let people arrive, and we see people coming in the attendee list. So for those of you who are here already, welcome to this 1 hour webinar with Zoe. Zoe, hello.
Hello, Robin.
Hi, Zoe. Great to have you here.
Yeah. Morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning. And as you know, the topic for today's webinar is executive and corporate coaching. And I'm very happy to have Zoe with us today. Zoe and I do a lot of talking around various topics, and this is one of them. And Zoe, thank you for agreeing to come and spend this time with our attendees, our audience.
It's a pleasure.
So, Zoe, I see our attendee list, loads of names I'm familiar with, and they're pouring in. So to the attendees who are already with us, and Elizabeth is already ahead of the game. She said, good morning from sunny Luxembourg. Please give us your name and the city or country you're dialing in from, just so Zoe and I get an idea of where our audience is from. Paolo from Taiwan. Corey from London.
Oh, great.
Helsinki. We've got from Singapore, from Denmark, Brussels, Edinburgh, Crystal from Dubai, Kelly from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Cool.
We have.
I think we had Dorset as well. I think I saw in the UK.
Great. Welcome, everyone. Just having a look. Great. So, hey, I'm going to ask the attendees, in previous webinars, we haven't shown the host videos, and Zoe and I wanted to put our videos on so you could see us, so we could say hello. I just want to hear from you. Someone, just let us know. Can you see us? Can you see our faces?
Yeah. Good check.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Great. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
I have two screens in front of me, so you might see me looking away every now and then.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. Ditto, me too. I have two screens. So if you see my eyes drop down right, you'll know that I'm looking at it.
Right, yeah, super. And thanks everyone for confirming. Wow, it's a good audience so far. So we're going to start off, everyone. I mean, it's been 3 minutes now. I think everyone's arrived. We're going to start off, before we introduce ourselves, we're going to introduce you, really, with some numbers. Let's have a look. Thank you for filling out those questions on the registration form. This is, we had 57 people registered to join this webinar. And here are the percentages on the screen based on those questions that you answered. So previously worked in corporate, a big percentage of you, 85. Level of experience, executive board level 30%, mid to senior management level 42%, and the rest team members and or have not worked in a corporate environment. Experience coaching executive clients, about a third of us. And experience with sponsored clients, whereas someone else, a third party, is paying for the coach to be coachee to be coached, 23%. Zoe, what can you make about that for our audience? What do I see there? Looking at the names, knowing that a lot of these names are familiar for the previous webinars we've run, and in previous webinars we've run a poll on where are people relevant to their training with CTI, and it's kind of a split, like 50-something percent or more have finished recently in the last 6 months. And then the rest 50% is kind of either still in training or have finished a year or more after the last course. So a real mix from regards the experience as well as where they are in their training journey.
Is it possible just to check with people on chat?
Yeah.
Whether you're still in training, just finished, or a year out, because that will alter slightly the way that I pitch some of the advice or content.
Great.
Thank you. My guys, you guys are so responsive. Fantastic.
You're quick.
They really are quick.
It's a digital age.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, it's great.
Yeah. So Allegra, Dunn Leadership, she's in certification. Great. In training, finishing fulfillment. Mm. Welcome, Christina.
Brilliant. I can see, just so you know, Robin, I can see the chat messages popping up on the phone. So I'm not seeing the whole list, but I'm seeing each one as it comes up.
Okay.
But you'll better be able to see the overview.
Yeah. I'm having a look here.
Thank you.
So I would say that the majority are still in training, but bear in mind the training is, for example, I think it was Christina, she just finished fulfillment, where a lot of other people are in certification, completing certification. So as you know, okay, the training arc can be a year.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of people still in training. A very small number have said they've been a year out. So at the moment.
Okay, cool. I'll try and do a split then when we're talking for those still in training and those more than a year out,
right,
because it does tend to be different, doesn't it? So I'll split it a bit.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Zoe, can you tell us a little bit about you?
A little bit about me. So for those of you who don't know me, I started coaching back in 2001. So I think, what does that mean? Is that 16 years?
16 years, yeah.
Oh my goodness, seriously.
Lots changed since then.
Yeah, it has. So I started coaching when coaching was type of like brand new in the UK. It was a bit like the Wild West. If you look at me over the years, I have focused in different areas. I mean, I suppose to give you a good idea, I started off doing career coaching because that was the way that people could in the UK approach coaching and be able to talk about me as their coach and talk about the fact that they were having coaching. Personal coaching at that time was seen more like therapy. So, you know, I quickly saw that that was not going to be a way for me to get my coaching off the ground and for me to be able to support the people I wanted to do. And then quite soon after I'd started that, I ended up being invited into a group that ended up running CTI in the UK for how many years was it, Robin? Five?
5 years.
It was 5 years, which was amazing. That was incredible. So I was running CTI in the UK along with Martin Lowesmith. I was the external and he was more the internal. And at the same time, I held my own coaching practice at the same time. And as I was going through the challenges of running a business, obviously my clients started shifting and it was still about career and professional development, but it became much more about a more senior individuals who were facing similar challenges to me. And then I think around 2008, end of 2007, beginning 2008, I became a mum, which was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I think it was pretty clear, wasn't it, that CTI needed to really fully own what was happening in the UK in order to take it to where it needed to go. And so I stayed on with CTI mentoring because that's one of my passions, helping you guys as you develop and grow your impact and your business and yourselves. And I then moved fully into working at that point, which was what was cutting edge, was the systems work, the teamwork. And I was working with boards of companies, managing directors, very senior entrepreneurs. And that became my main focus. And today, where you find me is still with senior executives. And they can be in very powerful positions in quite large organizations. And they can also be very entrepreneurs of global cult brands, smaller brands. And also you see me working with families. These are typically very wealthy families, and you're helping them with issues of family governance. You know, so how do they create a joint system of decision making, and how do they work together best as a family and support each other individually and collectively in order to reach their full potential as a family and to have the close relationships that they want. And you also find me working with families again. It's a big arc at the moment, where the children are on the autistic spectrum, and I support those families on a voluntary basis. My son is on the autistic spectrum, and the coaching skills that I have acquired over the years were just so amazingly powerful for us. So I just support those parents, teaching them coaching skills and helping to empower them so that they can best support themselves, their family, their children, be that one or more. So that's me.
Zoe, thank you. And what I love about your story, and it's really encouraging, I think, for everyone, especially new coaches, is over 15, 16 years, look at how your story, your journey has evolved. You've gone through various, we call it arcs, you know, various stages. Yeah. And how some of those stages track what's personal to you, right?
Yeah.
What's personal to you and your thing. And that's kind of inspiring for all of us, everyone who's a newish coach, because we're going to go on that journey at some level, right?
Yeah, that is beautifully, you know, that is beautifully put. And I would have had, you know, back all those years ago, and I say this, you know, when I was doing the tele classes, I just am what I am. You know, what you see is what you get with me. And, you know, at the beginning, honestly, if, you know, I was not in a great place with myself. You know, I was always, you know, smart. I was always intelligent. I could always handle myself. But my sense of inner confidence, my sense of self-esteem, my, you know, my sense of alignment and congruency, you know, was not there. And, you know, I've been on this journey for 15 years, and, you know, they say that those that need it the most do it. I think that's definitely true. So, you know, it's the arc of what I have done has changed and altered, and my arc of my own relationship with myself, you know, taking me from where I was with myself, which was probably like a 3 out of 10, to now, which is on a great day 500 out of 10, and on a not so great day is probably a 7 or an 8. But, you know, that relationship with myself that has built, and I've nurtured it over the years, that is the most valuable thing to me, you know?
And Zoe, I mean, the word that comes for me is presence with yourself, relationship with self. And this, I'm going to tie it straight back to what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
It's really important with how we show up with our clients, our audience, where we want to go.
Yeah. It really is, isn't it? And I think, you know, what you were saying before about the arcs of, you know, my journey mapping my client's journey, you know, is very true. Because if you take me back 15, 16 years ago, I was a consultant at a boutique telecoms consultancy firm. And I had the title of senior consultant, but, you know, let's face it, I was a cog in the wheel. That's what I was, you know. And I had some pretty interesting projects, you know, like consulting the Israeli government on their wireless local loop, you know, different telecoms things, or working with Cisco on next generation networks. So it's not that I had interesting projects, but I was nowhere senior in the organization. And then I was going to go to do an MBA at London Business School to look to take my career somewhere else. And in that process, I found coaching. Now, in the beginning, my clients, therefore, were mainly from, you know, London Business School, MBAs, or other people in my network. And then as I began to do what I did with CTI, just And it's just the way that it is with coaching. And I'm sure most of you have already started experiencing now, is you don't tend to attract clients who aren't where you are or who haven't been where you've been. Don't you think, Robin?
Well, it's absolutely true. How many times I'm sitting in front of a new client and I have to manage that level one that's going, oh my gosh, this is what I'm going through.
Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. And exactly, you pointed to it beautifully, Robin. So it reflects your inner world. What are you working on right now? Where's your edge? Where are your past edges, which, let's face it, are always our current edges too. You know, so that the clients will often reflect that, and they will also reflect outer. You know, like, I remember, if we go back to, I can't remember the year, but it was early on. So I would still have been doing the career coaching, and I might have just started doing stuff with CTI. So I got, somebody got referred to me, and she was on the board of a TV company. And honestly, I was intimidated. I really was intimidated, because I couldn't really know where she was. I didn't have that experience. And so the coach, and that would have been my first, yeah, typically my first executive coaching client, right? And I bombed. I mean, I completely bombed. And
how do you know you bombed?
I bombed. We worked, because you know when, in the early days, when clients don't stay around for too long.
Yeah.
You know, it must have been like a maximum of 2 months, and you knew it wasn't complete. And I knew that I was not able to really have that chemistry with where she was at that point in her career versus me and the level we were working at. And then, and that was fine. It was what it was. Of course, that was hard at the time, although looking back, that was, you know, it just was what it was. But then, as I built up my challenges and my role co-managing CTI, of course, then I began to have chemistry with those individuals. But again, because I didn't come, like some of you on the call, you already have been or are senior executives in businesses. I wasn't. So my way into the corporate world was very different. I had individual clients, they worked for companies, and they started referring me in. And that's how that journey went.
And Zoe, it's really inspiring, because you've got such a pragmatic approach, which is going to come out of some of the topics we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's face it, it might be easier if you come with executive experience. It might be, don't you think?
I don't know, because you can see it was quite interesting. Looking at the questions that you guys put on, you could see, or this is what I made up about it anyway, and because I couldn't speak to each of you, I could be wrong. But what I make up is that the senior executives on the call are looking more for information about how do I manage the relationships inside the organizations? And how do I really coach these senior execs? What are the useful things I need to know in addition to what I already know? What they don't seem to be asking about is how do I get in? And how do I pitch myself? And how do I build senior strategic relationships? Because that would be their world already.
Really?
So you could make up, couldn't you, that if you do not have senior executive experience, that therefore it will be more difficult to get in. But I don't think that is necessarily the case. I think it depends on how much you own what you do uniquely. So what I mean by that is, let's say I've never been a senior executive, but I am somebody who is an expert in yoga or meditation.
Hey Zoe, can I pause you there? Because it's a great segue to go into the, should we go into our day?
Oh yeah, let's go.
So guys, everyone on the call, that was a longer than usual kind of introduction, and it was we kept it going because actually it was beautiful context. And it really, Zoe, I think it was a fantastic context and it covered a lot. And I think now's a great time to get going.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Great. Guys, you know who I am. I work for CTI. I have such great pleasure hosting people like Zoe on these calls for all of our benefit. So let's get going. So this is what we're going to look at. And Zoe's touched on it already, just as the high level. 5 points. We're going to talk about you, how you position yourself, which is just what Zoe was touching on, building relationships with key stakeholders, managing the relationship, and then actually coaching senior execs. Sound good? Cool. Let's go. So Zoe, what do you mean by the attraction to the individual who wants to coach executives?
Yeah. So me being what I am, I go straight to it. So I noticed that in the world of, so first of all, maybe before I say that, I'm just going to say for me, what is, because this is executive and corporate coaching, right? So just to briefly say, what I mean by executive coaching is coaching a powerful individual, a senior, very senior, powerful figure within an organization. And either that person is paying you or the company is paying you. Corporate coaching could involve executive coaching, but it is going to involve more from the top of the business down to the bottom. And it can be doing team days, it can be doing teamwork at a more mid-level, or even sometimes a group work at a lower level in the organization, and it can be right up to board. So it's the corporate coaching is more of a full suite of services involving coaching, but also facilitation and also training. Whereas the executive, and that is always going to be paid for by the corporate, whereas the executive could be paid for by the individual or by the corporate, could be the individual, could be the board, could be the team. Okay? Just so we're clear. And there will be different definitions of it. You know, some people will call themselves a leadership coach when really what they're doing is executive coaching. But this is just so you know where I'm coming from with it. And executive coaching can be in big organizations. It can also be, you know, an entrepreneur with a cult brand who is, you know, moving at that level. That's absolutely executive coaching too. But of course, they are often two different segments. So in terms of when I say what's attracting, over the years, so many people have asked me about how to get into this world. And what I have noticed is that there is a really sunny side to it, Robin, where they're like, I really feel this call to working and supporting organizations to be their fullest potential and to be workplaces that are really positive and really productive and really game-changing. And then there is another part about it, which I think speaks to more about people's relationship with money, which is, well, I think that it's going to be better money there. Right? And for me, and also it can be that, and it can be like, well, I worked in corporate. I didn't like it. I'm not sure if I want to go back into it. I don't think I necessarily have a clean relationship with the corporate world, but I want to go back in there. Does that make any sense, Robin?
Complete sense. And I fit into that latter category. So what you're talking about is the motivator. And I've also witnessed it, and many people have come through our groups is, oh yes, corporate exec coaching, that's where the money is.
Right.
So that could be a money motivator. My example was I had a bad experience in corporate several years ago. I burnt out, my own fault, destroyed my health. So I had a bad relationship with that environment. That since has healed, and I now have a passion to help other individuals right. avoid that burnout.
Yeah, beautiful. And yeah, you have a lot of power and energy around it, and you can really feel it, right? And I think so, like Robin is a great example, therefore, of somebody who's done that that work on himself to be able to go back into the corporate environment with a clean slate. So all I would encourage you to do is to see, check, what is my motivation here? How clear and clean is my motivation? Where might there be a shadow? And what could I do about that, you know?
Are we making up anything about the motivator of money? Is that a no-go? What's going to happen if someone's just purely motivated on the money?
It's not going to work, is it? Because I think, you know, I think we all know on the call that, you know, the space between people is not empty. And so when people will feel it, they will feel if you're going into that because it is a real vision and a passion. About, you know, like I have, you know, I have clients who obviously they are looking to paradigm shift. You know, the type of clients I'm working with at that senior level are paradigm shifting. They are changing the conversation that is happening in a market segment or across all markets. And they are highly vision people. And therefore, they just know if you are excited at that level and if you're there for that level or if you're there for something else.
Okay. So it's like, so now you're tapping into what's the vision? What's our vision? What's your...
Yeah, exactly. You know, what's your vision? What's your vision for yourself, for your practice or your business, depending on what you're looking to build? What is your vision for your work? You know, like the work that I now do with these families, you know, like I have a very, very clear vision for the family work I do and a very clear vision for the work that I do with my executive clients. And I have a very strong belief in that, and that enables me to meet them exactly where they are. So I think it's just about, we can't answer that. We could spend, you know, we could facilitate a whole teleclass on that, yeah. You know, but that is just about looking at what is your vision when you go into executive coaching, when you go into corporate vision, corporate coaching, what is your bigger vision for what wants to happen, right? Because as coaches, that's what we're doing. We're looking into an individual or a corporate. We are seeing them at their full potential. We are holding them at that. We are relating to them as that until they walk in and claim it for themselves. And then we're done, right? But that's what we're doing. So when I am going in there, what is it that is wanting to happen? And how is that connected to my vision, either for a corporate, an organization, or for an individual? Then you're on fire.
How will you meet that and what chemistry is created?
Yeah, exactly. So, because then it will want to play with you, right? Yeah. That third entity of that will want to channel and play with you.
So that's kind of the bottom line of this section of the slide. It's like, be clear on your intention, know your vision, know that the space between you and client, corporate, whatever it is not empty. What's the chemistry? Where are you going to create the most chemistry between what's true for you and your client?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we could do a lot more on that. If you do want to do more on that, just let us know. Is it in the Q&A, Robin, or the chat?
Yeah, so thanks, Zoe, for the prompts. Those of you on the dashboard, you're using the chat box, thank you. There's another box called Q&A. If there's a topic, like a specific topic you want us to dive deeper into, stick it in the Q&A box, please. And that's something Zoe and I will work on for future sessions.
Okay, cool.
Thanks. Okay, I'm gonna jump on. Are you okay to jump on, Zoe?
Yeah, perfect.
So this leads us into positioning yourself. Once we know that clarity in ourselves, how we position ourselves as a coach.
Yeah, I love this bit.
And can I just throw out, I don't know if you saw it in the chat, a message from Katie.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it, no.
So it's like, has been a senior person, exec in a creative agency, etc. Concern is that my reputation, would prefer to see someone like you with many years of coaching experience rather than someone like me who's got loads of agency experience but no, but very little coaching experience.
Right.
Now, how do I position myself as a coach? That kind of...
Yeah, perfect. So, I mean, what I would say to that is you just have to pivot, Katie. I know that when you're in this new position, there is a lack of confidence. It's always there, right? Even if our self-esteem is good, like when we're learning to ride a bike, how could we be confident at it? Because we haven't had the practice. And the only way to really answer your question is to pivot yourself and turn yourself away from looking at yourself and looking to the agency and looking at what do they need? What is their need? And you can find, like, I remember, and it still happens to me today, the thing that I love about the coaching industry, it is not hierarchical. Here's me, I've been doing this for whatever, 15, 16 years. Robin, how long have you been coaching now?
3.5 years.
Right, okay. Robin and I have the most awesome conversations, guys. Like, I feel so privileged to speak with him and chat with him and connect with him. And that is the wonderful thing about it. It's like, it's not hierarchical. So it is not about how many years you've been doing this stuff. It isn't about that.
I just want to say what comes up as you say that. It's like, it's a kind of the way we frame it. It's like, oh, I'm defined, I'm a coach, and therefore I'm a new coach, versus I'm Robin with a coaching skill set that I now have.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was coming to me.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And in some ways, it might be easier for Robin to stay tighter, right, than me. You know, I have to make sure that I have lots of supervision to keep clean and keep tight because I've been doing it for a long time. Now, I know, Katie, that that helps and it doesn't help because you're like, yeah, but what about the organization? They will not necessarily see it like that. And again, I would say it depends how you own it yourself. Exactly as Robin said, if you own yourself with all those years of expertise, who now has this coaching skill set coming in, and let's face it, nobody who is drawn to coaching is not a naturally good coach, right? It's like someone who is a good parent is a good coach. Somebody who is a good leader is a good coach. You already are. What you're doing by having the coach training is beginning to create a library of skills that you can go into and consciously choose and add and hone and advance. So you can hear what I'm saying is about ownership. Does that make sense?
It completely makes sense to me, Zoe. And this might be a flippant comment, but the thing I see getting in the way of most amazing coaches is saboteurs.
Yeah.
It's that, it's for whatever reason, once they shift that and just be them, there's such a shift.
Exactly. And that's what I always say to people is that, you know, when you are an entrepreneur, because that's what you guys are, you know, as coaches, you are also entrepreneurs. Wow, it's confronting. You know, and it still is for me. It still is every time. Every time I'm doing a fresh project, every time is that I will always get confronted. And that is, then that depends how I embrace that. But, you know, there's nowhere to hide as an entrepreneur. There isn't. And I am going to come up against myself wherever I need to. And it is how I frame that as well that is going to make the difference. So, you know, when we look at, but just to talk a little bit more practically about the positioning, this is what I would say. We all know that coaching is not about being an expert, right? Coaching is about being somebody who is a masterful listener and a masterful questioner. And you are holding a space for somebody to have a conversation with themselves in such a way that they can really hear what they already know, you know? It's one of the frustrating and wonderful things about being a coach. You're never telling anybody something they don't really know already somewhere. Right, Robin?
I love it. And you're just saying about the conversation with themselves. Here's a great strapline for a coach. You help people have better conversations with themselves.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, totally. And so, however, when we again pivot ourselves, thanks. It's great, isn't it? Robin's definition is great. When you pivot yourself back out to the corporate or to the individual, the reality is that they will look, in most cases, unless they have a long time experience of coaching themselves, they will look for an expert, won't they? They will. So the positioning becomes important. Now, if you are already a senior executive, you will have a host of expertise that is, let's say you've been in legal. So you will have a host of content and knowledge about legal, which you will never really use in your coaching probably, but your clients will think you will before they start working with you, right? Then you will have a host of experience and history with knowing what it is to be head of legal in a global organization and how legal is perceived strategically, how you manage stakeholder relationships, how you deal with opposition, how you collaborate, how you support. You will know how it is perceived in the market, what all of those things.
What right? The intensity level is of.
Yeah, exactly. So that you will inform, that will inform your coaching. And that is what your clients will be coming for, right? They will be looking to be senior execs, or they are senior execs, and they will be looking at your profile and they will be seeing something in you that they see in themselves that they want more of. So it will be very important to find a way for you to own that expertise and claim that space.
There's just something you said there, something they might see in you that they want more of.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know why, that just really stood out for me. Something they see in you. Yeah. So it's, again, it comes back to claiming that something about you.
Yeah, and asking them, like asking your clients, what is it that you see in me? You know, it's a really lovely question. What is it that you saw in me that attracted you to working with me?
Yeah.
And then they will, you know, be able to tell you what that is. So obviously, as a senior exec, you can claim all of that. But I hope you hear what I'm saying about the difference between the content and the knowledge, which they will think you're going to use with them, but really you're going to have to do a lot of self-management at level one to not. Otherwise, you'll be doing coaching slash mentoring versus all your strategic experience. Yeah?
Yeah. And Zoe, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And can you just, what do you mean by a coaching practice versus a business of coaching?
In terms of positioning, it makes a big difference. So let's say, for example, that I just want to be me, myself, and I, right? Me, myself, and I, and I don't really want to earn more than 100,000 to 150,000 pounds a year, right? Let's say that's what I'm happy with. Then, I mean, of course, it could be more than that, but let's just say it's that, because that's will be about an average. Then I can have a practice. I could be the ex-head of legal, let's say for Sony, and I could craft a practice where it's me really with these relationships that I have and that I build, and I go out and deliver the coaching. Hopefully, I will have other products that I will create from my expertise that become my intellectual property, but it's really me that people are always buying that brand. That will be a coaching practice, right? Mm-hmm. Versus the business where you will be employing people to work with you. It will not be a brand about you. It will be the brand about the business that you're creating. You will have quite an associate network that will work with you, and you will be wanting to have a bigger vision and a bigger impact in that area of the market that you're working on. You're probably going to be creating more IP. You may well be training others to work with you and deliver your IP. That's what I mean.
Okay. So it's scale, kind of a scale reference.
Right, it is. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So obviously, it's good to know, where do I feel that I want this to go? You know, because then that helps your positioning at the beginning about making it you as your brand versus not you as your brand and the business brand of what you're doing.
It's interesting to take that decision or even think about it up front, whereas I kind of assumed it might be a natural progressive arc where I coaching practice, it's me, it's independent, solopreneur. And over time I go, oh, let me build this into a business.
It can be. Yeah. You absolutely can start a practice and evolve it into a business, but most people will know if they want to. Yeah. I mean, not all people, but most people will know. Like, if I think about, you know, the coaches that I've worked with as clients, they will, I mean, normally they will be the people who will be looking for a bigger impact, but they'll know that they will not be satisfied for that long with a smaller impact. They will know it. You know,
you're pointing to, again, this is a very powerful inquiry that's one on themselves, right?
Yeah, they'll know that it will become too run of the mill for them too fast, even if the individuals aren't, and they'll start to get antsy about the lack of impact. Yeah. So you know, with that type of individual, that type of coach, that a business is coming, or a collaborative, or something is coming for bigger impact. Whereas for others, it will not be about that. And the coaching practice will be really fulfilling, and it would never be something that is boring. And yes, of course, it can evolve. Yeah, just to say, those people who do not have executive coaching experience positioning themselves, then my suggestion would be, is not to do at any point any form of pretending. Don't do it to yourself. I'm sure you wouldn't, but I'm just saying, because I know that I did think about doing that, you know, and it's just a stressful waste of time. The most important thing for you to do is understand your expertise. You know, like a few years ago, I'm going to use a silly short example, but I think it hits the nail on the head. There was a big thing about laughing yoga. Does anybody remember? Is it just me? It was in Denmark. There's somebody from Denmark. Laughing yoga was huge in Denmark corporates, massive. Now, if you owned fully that you were a laughing yoga expert, then the corporate was really interested in you. You didn't have to know corporate. You just had to be a laughing yoga expert that could confidently have the conversations. So all you needed to learn was, how do I have these type of conversations with a company?
And not holding it, like, because I know it sometimes can happen that we think corporate, that it's a, especially if we haven't worked in it, it's like a completely separate beast. And it's like there's such a gap between us and them. And really, it's a bunch of human beings.
Yeah, because the reality is, and again, we're going to talk here about, you know, ideally, you know, for me, the way I do it now is I will be invited in by a very senior individual. I will not be going through the HR or leadership development department. My individual, if depending on the type of organization, my individual may be working very closely in collaboration with them, and then I would be working with everybody, but I will not be going in on that route because of the type of people that I work with and how I have evolved it. Now, if we're looking at corporate coaching, that could still be true for you, but you will be going in as well through HR and leadership development. Now, as we all know with HR and leadership, which can be sometimes frustrating for them, is a lot of leaders in organizations think about team days still, don't they? Team days and away days. And so they will, they need different things, different areas of expertise to be offered new things to the people in their organization. So like a while ago, leadership with horses was huge. I don't know if anybody remembers that time. And there's amazing people still doing that work out there, but it took an upswing. And then there were lots of team away days where leadership teams and teams have been taking out to work with horses. So again, you didn't have to know anything about the corporate, but you had to have your expertise. So, you know, you want to look for that, you know, for that type of stuff there.
And just to be clear, we're moving on to this building those key relationships. And what I've heard is if you don't have key relationships in a specific field, you may typically try and enter the HR leadership development route. But you also advocate for, you know, worker network, build relationships with other leaders and other departments who can help you get you in.
Yeah, I mean, the key thing here, and those of you who are already senior execs, you will know this, is, let me dial this back, is that it's really important that you know yourself and how you are. And you know the people that you have chemistry with and the people that you really enjoy spending time with. Right? You know, really enjoy spending time with. You know, so for me, I am a very strategic type of person. I love working at a strategic level, and I love bringing it down to brass tacks. That's me. So I will have a lot of chemistry with people who are strategic, people who are visionary, people who are super bright and intelligent and fast. And, you know, those are the type of people that I will naturally have chemistry with, and I will enjoy spending time with them, and they will enjoy spending time with me. So when you are looking at executive coaching and corporate coaching, really know the type of people that are your tribe. Right. And really, again, own that. Then if we're then looking at developing these relationships, people who have a lot of executive experience already, you will know that it is about that strategic level of relationship. And it's about being a trusted advisor. As a coach, you become people's trusted advisor. That doesn't mean that you do all the work for them, because that is often not the right thing to do. But it means that you will, as you develop a trusted advisor relationship, you become somebody that they look to. And that is a great privilege, isn't it? They will, you know, they will have you on speed dial. You know, and as well as other people.
It's and about value, right, Zoe? Value, like you offer value to them and they appreciate that.
Yeah, because you are building a relationship with them and a friendship, a long-term, you know, business friendship relationship where, you know, both of you get a lot of value from that. You know, my clients will call me with things completely unrelated, but where I can add value or I can help connect them to somebody. And I love doing that. They're people that I love to have in my life, and they love to have me in their life. And you can feel, you can really hear, can't you, that I really care deeply and love my clients, and they really care and value and love me. And so it is just such a cool thing. Right. And if you don't have experience of developing those type of trusted advisor relationships, well, don't, you know, no hassle. I didn't at the beginning. It's something that's evolved. And look for where you look to learn. How do I do that? How do I engage in a strategic way? How do I design how do I begin to build conversations in that way? Who can I find out that from? Again, that's something that Robin and I can help you with on other teleclasses if you want to know that. But, you know, how do I take those conversations to another level? How do I do that? How do I build a network of connections within an organization of people that I like who are part of my tribe? You know, because it's not just about having one person in an organization, as those with senior experience will know, it's about having that web.
And that relationship you're speaking of and being an advisor, are you, could it be with your actual client and or is it with your network in the same organization? Because it's inspired by Katie's question here, like, are you available? How much are you available to your clients outside the set coaching experience?
See, again, this is, I mean, you are going to hear different coaches say different things, and that is cool, right? That is the wonderful thing about coaching. The coach's business is going to reflect them. For me, I work with few clients at a time, and the type of clients I'm going to work with are, they are at a bigger game. That bigger game may not be obvious to those outside, or it may be, but for them, it is a big game. It's big stuff that we're working on, and I am in it with them, and that's what I love. So my clients, well, you know, you just have to be, you know, the supervision, you have to be very clear about the hat you're wearing. So I have to be very clear, what's the hat that I'm wearing when they call me about this? You know, how do I need to relate to it? But yes, I am available to my clients, and that's the way I like to be. But I also will go off for 2 months of the year, and my weekends are sacrosanct. And I have a very good work-life balance. You know, I love that, you know. And some of my clients, you know, one in particular will say, oh, you off on holiday again, Zoe? Have a great time. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm modeling it for you.
Yes, and what you're modeling for us is, you know, I think Katie's question reminds me of how we can think that you have 40 coaching clients and you only speak to them twice a month and that's it and there's nothing in between. And that can be one way, but you're modeling that you get to design your relationship with your clients.
Yeah, totally. In a way, you know, like I love people, and the people that I be around, I love them. It's not like we need to be in each other's pockets, but you know, it's like a ballroom dance, isn't it? There's a good structure to keep things clean and clear, but we are ballroom dancing, that's what I'd say again. And we can do a lot more on that, but you know, just let us know in the boxes if that's useful.
I mean, it's great. I mean, it's such a big topic and the different audiences. But, you know, time check. We've got several minutes left and we've got a couple slides more. Let's move on.
Yeah,
and perfect. Learn some of the key points for our audience. So we've spoken about building those relationships. Now it's managing that relationship.
Yeah, totally, totally. So so this is the high level I would say about this, is that everything that you've learned through and are learning through CTI, plus any other trainings that you've done, it is less, when you're doing exec coaching and corporate coaching, it is less about the content of the coaching and more about the attention and an exquisite awareness you have as you are managing the flow of the relationship. Is that clear, Robin?
Yeah, and now this is, are you talking... To be clear, this is a sponsorship type relationship or both?
Yeah, thank you. You're so deft at this. So again, you can have different setups, right? Your setup could be that there is your client, there is a sponsor in the business, and there is you. So you can have a triangle. You could actually have a square. So sometimes you will have your client, their sponsor, which is often the person who's senior to them in the organization, the HR or leadership development sponsor, and you. So you can have a box or you can have a triangle. Depending on the organization and the culture, you can also just have the clients and you. You know, they are their own sponsor in a way, that their sponsor does not get involved. Now, what we discovered over the years was that in most situations, it is best practice to have the sponsor, because it's like when you do teamwork and you reveal the system to itself and the system self-regulates, you know, you've got a system involved. You've got more than one person plus the external coach, right? Or internal coach, depending, or a bit of both. So if you are working with the system at the same time, it is normally easier to make the changes. That said, there are some cultures still, and again, I'd have to talk in much more detail about this, where it is still better to have the individual and you. And that can work, and that can work better. But those are few and far between. The best practice in general is that if the company or the individual that was employing you did not include a sponsor, you would work with them to help them feel good about having a sponsor involved. Mm-hmm. And you would explain to them that it's about the work that they're doing is not just on themselves. It is for themselves, it's for the team, and it's for the organization. So by involving those others in it, it will make the work easier. It will make the results faster. Yeah. So what you have to think about is the setup. How do you set that up so that you do have the sponsor? And so typically, to be very practical, you would have a kick-off meeting with the sponsor or sponsors, you and the client. Please, please, please make sure that your client is empowered to run that meeting, not you. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Even the best will in the world, even the best sponsors, they may be tempted, if you're running it, to ask some questions that unknowingly, not meaning to, that would put you in a very tricky situation which you couldn't answer without compromising your client. So explain that to the client, that from the minute that you are coaching them, that you have to educate the organizations often and the client, that there is no contact with you that happens without the client CC'd or on the call. And that is to keep the structure of the box and everything clean and clear. You know, and that happens in my family work. You know, I will often, of course, when you're doing work with the, let's say, the mother and father, and then the children, whether they're adults or younger, normally my colleague will hold the relationship with the mother and father, and I will hold the relationship with the next generation, as that's my sweet spot. But I will be working with all of them. And again, it's the same thing. It has to be clear, you know, because otherwise you can be compromised. And what that means is your trust with your client is compromised. And then your ability to do your work at the level you're going to do it at is compromised. So that is very, very important that they know that from a practical level. So you would have that set up, you would imply it and teach your client, if they needed to, how to run that. And you would agree your objectives, your intentions for the coaching. You know, and normally you would structure it at an individual level, a team level, and an organizational level. What are the shifts that people want to happen? And you need to create some form of measurement. Measurement is, and again, I could go into more details of that on another call. I want to honor time and keep going. So then you would typically sign up to six month coaching programs, if we're talking purely about the exec coaching here. And typically best practice would be to have a check-in with the sponsor, you and the client, at the halfway point. How are we doing? How's it going? Again, the client runs the meeting. How's it going? How are we doing? Again, it keeps everybody's feet to the fire, right? Then at the end, you have the tie-up. Again, there's much more detail to this I would have to go through. I just wanted to give you that high line.
So, Zoe, I mean, immensely valuable. And what's come out of this session, and this is to the audience as well, we intentionally gave us an kind of trying to cover the whole arc. And as Zoe pointed out, wow, there's so much. What I'm going to encourage the audience now, before we end the webinar, in the Q&A box, which section, what do you want more of? There's the, how do you get into corporate? How do you position yourself? Getting yourself ready to position and then to build those relationships? Or are you already at that level where you've got relationships and you want to maximize the relationship and then start coaching the executives? I mean, I'm seeing there's different level, I say different stages. And based on what I'm hearing from you, Zoe, we could go deep into those stages.
Into all of it. Yeah, into all of it.
So if we can, if the audience gives us an indication and ideally the Q&A box.
And Robin, would it be appropriate for me, as they are typing those in, to just say a tiny thing about, because I know some people sent some questions in about that, about coaching the senior executive, just two pointers.
Please.
Yeah. Okay. So first thing about, the first thing I would say to you is when you are coaching senior executives, visuals are hugely helpful. So what I mean by that is CTI, coactive coaching, is not a highly visual thing. It's a highly experiential and intuitive. And that means that that makes you a kick-ass coach. So that gives you an incredible foundation. But then when you're dealing with these types of senior executives, they are normally highly visual. Check their channels. Do you work in a visual channel more, an auditory channel, a proprioceptory channel, which is sensing, or a kinesthetic channel that is moving? You need to find out where they are, because that affects your words. Like if I'm doing visualizations, if I'm saying to somebody, okay, well, oh, great, what do you see when you connect to that? If they're not visual, they're not going to see anything, and then they're going to think this doesn't apply to me. Whereas if you say, oh, well, you know, I know that you're more sensing, you sense things rather than see them, or you sense and see. So when we're doing this visualization, just pick up what you're sensing, and if you see something, great, and if you don't. You're freeing them up. It also means that when you know somebody is highly visual, you can share with them models and tools that you can get from many other coaching books and models that they can really relate to. And again, I could do more on that and show you more of what I mean by that. But that I find is hugely helpful time and time again. How do you make what you are doing into a simple visual representation that they can take away with them, that they can use, and that they can connect to fast?
So just again, it's permission. I just see by focusing on what channels they use and optimizing it for them, you're making it so much more generative and expansive for the individual.
Oh.
Rather than, which sounds amazing, rather than, let's say, hammering away with the visual piece and they're not visual.
Yeah, exactly. And
it shuts them down.
Exactly.
Such an important
thing. Exactly. Yeah. And there's much more stuff around that. But, you know, is that what I would say. And, you know, with the CTI, obviously in CTI, when you're in the classroom, of course, they've got to use words that you can all understand to make the learning, right? You know, you're now coming up as, you know, front of room, aren't you, Robin?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Is that right, what I'm saying?
Completely. We try and, it's the experiential part where we try and speak to all learning styles and communication styles.
Right. You know, and all I would say is it's just going to take some practice. But when you go into your senior exec or your corporate, they are not going to know that. And you need to choose what is the bit that would really be in service of them if I educated on them on it. Right. Like, for example, the principles of fulfillment. How will that move them forward? How will that catalyze if I do that? If you're not getting a clear answer on that, then either more thinking or leave it. But with other words, then you just need to meet them where they are, as opposed to take those words with you and keep those words for you and your fellow coaches. Does that make sense, Robin?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. And again, we can talk much more about that. And I think Robin, you know, as well, could you know, you could talk a lot to that, I'm sure. So.
And Zoe, what's very encouraging, I mean, this topic has landed well. We had a really good show turnout, a really high percentage of the people who registered showed up. And in the Q&A box, 22 comments, requests for following content. So we've got our work cut out for us.
So that's great. Cool. And I mean, you know, there are, we have, and you know, there are a lot of what I would say to you as well is that there are lots of executive coaches out there working with Coactive and other stuff. So, you know, I think there can be a tendency to think that it is a small group, but actually it is a much bigger group than people realize. It's just they're out there doing the stuff and maybe don't feel the pull to come in and share in the way that I do, but I'm sure they will, you know. And and so, you know, I think it is a much bigger community than people realize, and I look forward to supporting you all in the way that I best can on that journey.
Wow, Zoe, thank you so much. Even in this 1 hour, what immense value you've given us. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you, Robin, for facilitating it to me and bringing me back on track when I needed it.
No, no problem. And thank you. And thank you to all the attendees for your engagement. Katie, especially for you, for all those questions. Great.
Yeah.
Take care. Enjoy the rest of your week, everyone.
Yes. Have a marvelous, marvelous week out there impacting the world.
Right. Thanks, Zoe.
Take care.
Goodbye, everyone. Bye.